go ahead.
Oh, yes. Be fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You got nothing else to do. Let me just say, I'm going to get a little bit of this for Don. Okay. Is that 2-4 lots at the Hillary House?
Yeah. 2 acres.
I mean 2 full acres. Well, what's fenced there?
No, I don't think it's fenced at all. It's all open.
Well, it's mowed. Not all mowed.
Well, half of it I'd say is mowed.
Oh, I see.
1 acre's taken care of, 1 acre's in woods.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah, Beverly was saying she wanted a little bit of, she'd like to move down there. She wanted a little bit of land. She's tired of living just in an apartment.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, about a year later, morning, Faye. You'd be wanting to find an apartment. That's a little bit too much land to take care of.
Well, now, this is that Hillary House. I'll tell you about that before we go. About this Hillary.
Oh.
Now that you found this out through the children or grandchildren? Grandchildren.
Well, it was mostly just next door neighbors, the information I got, which is a girl that used to live up at my place with Rosemary's her name, and Bill Niblock.
Yeah.
And she's sort of a strange cookie in her own right. But I found out from Ms. Hillary that as soon as they moved in, they went over to the grandmother's house. This is the younger Ms. Hillary. And went over to the grandmother's house, which is right next door. And Rosemary said, well, we're your new neighbors. And if there's anything you need, just let us know. Well, that set her right off.
It would.
There's this young whippersnapper comes over, and she takes her head and does that, the lead. So evidently, they got to be really good friends. And she told me that, see, I knew that Ms., from the discussions about the house, that when Ms. Hillary died, all she had was $2,400, and that was burying money. And she'd saved it herself in the last year. She'd put it aside out of her own pocket. And the kid said, well, of course, we made sure she had meat in the freezer. And she refused to move in with the kids or have any of the kids move in with her or any help beyond if she was destitute. She did it all herself. And she also organized her whole, she gave away stuff. And Rosemary told me she actually trimmed shrubbery down. Made it smaller and tighter so it was easier to take care of, and put the whole physical place in order in preparation for dying.
Oh.
And she gave, a week before she died, she gave the kindling wood to Rosemary and Bill. She said, there's all that wood over there. You're welcome to it. And she's talking to Rosemary and said, well, I went to the doctor, and he said I had, what's the fat in the blood?
Cholesterol.
I'm going to have to go on a diet and take all this medicine. He says, well, I figure I've had a pretty good life. It's time to go. It's time to go. I'm not going to change my habits. She just said, to hell with the doctor.
And she told Rosemary.
Yeah.
What
do you think? And she just went ahead and prepared to die and did it evidently with a smile, best I can tell. I haven't heard anybody talk about her complaining, because when the kids moved into the house, the Gwen house that we got, which is right across the street, they had to go over there to borrow water because the water wasn't turned on. And she was downright friendly and perky, and my God, that was hardly a month. 6 weeks before she died, and they miss her terribly already. And they, you know, just 6 weeks period of time. So evidently she had a good spunk going all the way to the last. I was amazed. Rosemary was so impressed with her knowledge of the function of the common ordinary life, like how to which several ways to kill a chicken, and then how to pluck a chicken, you know, and what to do with the feathers, and how to cut a chicken up, and certain weeds you'd feed a horse for certain things, and little horse care lore. See, Rosemary likes horses, but she's a city girl. And of course, the only thing she would know living in the city is you go to the stable, rub a horse down, and stuff like that. You don't know about picking weeds and stuff of that nature. And she, Rosemary's just impressed. She couldn't get over it. Miss Hillary just knew all of this stuff. I spent about an hour.
Miss Hillary had handled animals.
Evidently.
Yeah.
And there she was, right down there in the middle.
Yep, all of her kids were born there. She, I don't know whether she was born there or not. Could have been. But the kid's talking about nobody's Micanopian unless they've been there 50 years. They won't let go of that till they die. They're really funny people. You have to be there a long time. And that was, they're talking about all the different things, old places around there. A bottling company, Micanopy Bottling Company. And a lot of, they told me about finding a scrapbook or something. Somebody pulled off the top of a wagon load of books going to the dump from their parents dying. And this was years ago. It listed all the cities in Florida, and Micanopy was listed, and it was a page and a half of businesses, and Micanopy and Miami had one. It said it had growth potential. They lived through all that business.
Yeah, Miami's recent.
It certainly is. It's really hard to conceive how recent it is. It's hardly 40 years old, is it? Miami.
Settlement.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's something. Well, those people, I'm a little bit ashamed we missed out on Ms. Hillary. I had met the younger Hillarys before, and they have a little bit of spunk to them. When I went over the other day to check on things, they were out back, and said, I knocked on, yelled at the door, and said, "Hey, come back here," and oh, about from here to the trailer almost, is the shed. And she immediately made some crack about, well, he had to have a shed out here. He's the husband. And they're out there eating fish. Well, it was supper time, and I was about to starve to death, but he says, "Oh, have some fish." "Oh, no." My stomach started going, grrr. all bass. Stuff fish he'd caught, and he caught the damn things in Tuscaloosa, and I've been down there trying my dead level best to catch fish. And I asked him how he caught, I said, caught him in Tuscaloosa. I said, what were you fishing with? How'd you catch him? He said, "Oh, I just tried a lot of different plugs," and he shut right up, and he wouldn't say another word about fishing. I don't know how you're going to learn from him. You have to go and root around and work with him some. Because he wasn't going to talk about that fishing, but they had a stack of fish that high, and they'd already finished eating. Bass, and I've forgotten what else they had in there. And he has you seen these lead boilers that the plumbers use?
Oh.
It's a big pot, and when they're putting these plumbing joints together, dip lead, that's what he's got to cook fish in. And his wife says, "Well, he can cook fish for 40 people in 30 minutes in that pot, and hush puppies too." Takes me 30 minutes to cook fish for two. they're strange people. I've never touched them before. I didn't even recognize them. They really stay to themselves. Matter of fact, they don't know some of the people that I know. I don't think they know the Townsends, which is right odd. Maybe they know them by Guthrie more than Townsend, probably.
And they're the young Hillarys.
Uh-huh, the young Hillarys.
But they have a family themselves.
Oh, yes, they have a bunch of kids. They live in that house right next to the post office, the two-story house, across the street from the post office. and across that dirt road. The post office will be here, and this cattywampus.
Oh, yes. That's the one I was thinking about, because that's where Florence used to pick up her children. They'd be over there a lot of times when they were all going to Meganope School. And mm-hmm. she took them out of Meganope because she says they didn't have the ambition. And they just put their foot down. Those damn teachers wasn't going to teach them anything. So she had to take her children out. And those Hillary children, grandchildren, were part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that's it. I told you that. Florence talks to everybody, but a lot of people she talks to, it's just a perfect waste of time. And she doesn't seem to discriminate. And when she talks about the, I tell her this too, you see. And when she talks to the, when she reports to me on Mr. Thrasher, I just have to close up both ears, because what she says is tedious. But she knows the other, you see. But I don't know how to get her into it, because I don't know where it is. But she knew those Hillary people.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you she could talk about them just like you do. But instead of that, she talks to me about old man Thrasher. And I haven't heard one interesting thing about him yet. He's just not interesting. And nothing he does is interesting. He's just neutral. Neuter.
Well, young Ms. Hillary taught at Meganope School.
Oh, did she?
And we got into that a little bit before we broke up the first time we were together, and she was right proud. She's telling all these progressive things she was doing. She's a lively individual, that woman is.
Yeah.
She's full of spunk.
Yeah.
David mentioned that. He said, you really like her. Because he was dating one of their daughters or something. They've got a beach house, Crescent Beach. Boy, some of these people are amazing. You know, you look at them and you think, well, my goodness, they're barely making it. And here they go over to spend the weekend at their own beach house, Crescent Beach. They've got everything a person needs, it just doesn't have a lot of glitter on it. Probably no banknotes on it either, knowing these people. I bet they don't know a cent, hardly. That's something. But she's got a whole lot of spunk.
Now that's
a lot more spunky than people around there ordinarily are.
Miss Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I don't know whether she was born in Meganope or not.
But
she's an old timer. Knows the son is the Hillary, of course.
Yeah.
And there is a daughter, but the daughter lives in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But she's not as bright and spunky as the Hillary down, the wife.
Now you know the son.
No, he's the fisherman, the guy that cooks the fish.
Oh, is he?
I'd say they seem to be in their 50s. They got an awful bunch of young kids running around, too.
And then a woman was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not a Hillary.
She's not a Hillary. Not the teacher. I don't know her first name. They call him Allen, I believe. W.A. Hillary. Call him Allen.
Well, then. Well, now, which one's interesting? Where out there, where they were eating the fish, the man or the woman?
Well, Ms. Hillary was the one that carried on. She held everything together. There was two. There was about four people.
Oh,
five people.
The ones they were from next door. No.
No, the people were eating the
there?
Fish.
Yeah.
Was Mr. and Ms. Hillary, Alan Hillary, and his wife.
That over across the road.
That Alan's the son of the old lady that died.
Yeah.
And he lives in the two-story house.
Yeah, across the road.
Mm-hmm, from the post office.
Yeah.
Right. And he's got a shed. He finally built a shed because evidently they cook so much fish outside.
Oh, I see.
That it just became that's their outside kitchen.
they're
out there eating fish and 12 cats running around and having fights. Having enough spare fish to raise 12 cats.
Well,
they growl and fight over the fish.
Well, did he say anything else besides what you said?
He's not talkative.
But she is.
She is. She'll, he would underscore things once in a while.
Oh, I see.
And or put in little argumentative points.
Well, now she's the only one I ever heard want to talk about.
Well, she's the one that talks.
As I remember now, it was Ms. Hillary that attracted Fox, and then the children just played together. They
could
were
be.
Right next to school.
Well, maybe Florence knows a little bit more about the old lady that died. I don't know. I'm sorry we missed out on her. I didn't realize that she had a stalwart character like that.
I'll tell you, I won't play it any for you. But and I was on this Victory ship, I call it, a Liberty ship, and that's a merchant marine, and. I didn't know where we were going that time. We were going to the China-Burma Theater, through the Suez Canal and Mediterranean, but we also went all over the Atlantic, getting to the Gibraltar. And one of the mates was an old salty fella, and I don't know exactly how they treated him, but as I look back at it now, he baited them. They baited him. And one thing he did, he had been torpedoed and had spent 9 days in the North Sea. The North Sea is frigid even in the middle of winter, summer.
Got iceberg.
Practically. And what they said was the only reason he survived the North Sea was he was already pickled in alcohol. I didn't know enough just to go up and sort of get into it. I stayed on the fringe and sort of overheard whatever I could. And I never thought I'd meet that old customer. And hell, he's right up there, the janitor in my office.
So I'm the dog.
And last week he came in there and talked to me. I got him the first day, and it's the first day he'd ever done more than just pass along. And somehow we got to talking. And he was squatting down out there on the ground. He was going across the road, the street. And I sat down on the top step. And we talked for half an hour. So I just oiled up this little Sony and took it up there and put it in the drawer. And Wednesday we talked a half hour. And Friday we talked an hour. And here this man has come to life, you see, this old mate. Like that Liberty ship. It's bound to be. It just has to be. Because he was in the Merchant Marine too.
Won't we love that?
And furthermore, he brought up and crawling into the boilers on them old ships that went out of Boston and those places up there. When you quiet down a little bit, you listen to that. It is something. No, he didn't go. He says some of them just stayed on the ship, and all they did was never got out of sight of land. They just went from Panama up north and back to Panama. And he said he knew them. They did that for 30 years. Well, he says they had a handsome retirement in stock in the company. But he says he didn't figure it that way. He said he wanted to go where he wanted to go. And he'd wait a month and a half or 2 months for a ship to go where he wanted to go. And the damnedest places I never even heard of. Some place up in Denmark. And the place he goes into the most is during the Korean War. It was pretty hot over there, and he just wanted to see how hot it was. And he got on a ship, a merchant ship, you see. It wasn't a warship. And he got on one of them shuttles from Korea to Japan. And he said he got in with a family over there in Korea. And he says he run into a man that come from his home country up there around St. Clair, Mass, he called it. Mass, always. And he says... man named Dodge, and he said, George, you're the only one I have ever seen around here that's not as scared to go around at night. all afraid somebody would shoot them, or rob them. Well, George says, I got friends. And what he did, he made friends with that family, you see, and so it gets out. It happened before. I've heard it happen before, and it's the simplest thing in the world. And that's what he did. He went up in those mountains in Japan or somewhere in the island there, and he says he just wanted to see how they shot them Japanese out. He said they had tunnels back in that mountain they could run freight trains in. And he still hadn't figured out how they shot them out. And all the time, he's doing his mouth this way, and he's puffing on a cigarette, and then when he gets through saying something, he laughs, and he's blowing, you see, and groaning, I can't go like him. But that's going all the time. And he said he had a little land at one time. And he said whenever he got off the boat over there, he'd go up there and buy him a little more over there at Mayport, over there at that naval base. Cecil Field. Cecil Foot. And he said they wanted to extend that airport, and he said the Navy just took it. They wasn't even going to pay him for it. And he got Billy Matthews to help him out. And he said, Billy Matthews even got $500, more than he had paid for it. But all that time he'd held it and paid taxes on it. And he says that was the end of, that wound him up. He hadn't owned any property since. The hell with them, he said. And furthermore, he said he hadn't saved any money. As soon as he got it, he went to the bar.
He's a genuine seaman. No doubt about it.
Now, you see, you don't know just what happens all the time. Because he is, you see, he, like Mr. Weaver, those people, they're performers. God, that instinct was remarkable. That instinct in those days. I just run across it again and again, and it's amazing what relics you find. You see, once the culture puts a stamp on them, I'm using that term word culture now. I can't think of one. Once they get into that way of life, nothing will change them. Well, they change, they adapt, you see. After all, he's been working up here on the campus off and on, he says. He says he started pretty high up and worked his way down.
Oh, wait, you're going to love it. I listened to 2 minutes of it, and we spent the next hour just talking about that 2 minutes.
Well, that's all we got, 2 minutes. But there's more of it than I thought. Yesterday, off and on, I typed a little bit in there, and I got 7 solid pages of type, and I'm still not through with two of the sessions.
Right there in his office.
Yeah. Right there in his office.
Worked his way down.
And he laughs hearty. Oh, he laughs hearty. I say hearty, he laughs. Laughter's a part of it. Oh, he says this world is just gone crazy. You know, just laugh. He don't laugh like that. That's just my imitation of something that don't exist. And you see, they got me trying to imitate the MLA boys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They got me sort of on this heavy duty scholarship business. Well, that ain't my fort. My heart's not in it, you see, and it's killing me. I'm not going to try any more of it. I'm just going out and run across these birds. And but here's something, Wade. You do all this reporting just from your ear. I can't do that. I don't hear enough at the time. and I don't get it straight. I gotta have something solid to go on part of the time. Just simply have to have it. And that way I get a little straighter and it's fuller. And then I can look at that, you see, and I can, next time I see him, you see, I can work around to this Korean family that he was got in with. You see, it gives me something, it gives me my cues.
Well, that's that. You can tie that in with friendship. Well, a traveler. I mean, that man's a traveler.
Yeah.
What little you told me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He knows. He's not a genuine American. He's a real traveler.
Yeah. He's not a tourist.
Nothing to do with a tourist.
He don't belong to the tourist trade. Tourism.
See, my old black friend in town, Jake, he was talking about Harlem, and you have to do the same thing there. To exist in Harlem. Wherever, whoever you are and wherever you come from, you've got to meet some of the people and have that word spread before you can walk around with any freedom.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, now let me tell you, this stuff you're doing in Micanopy, you have to do. You can't just, you even if you, the money doesn't mean a thing to you, you still have to do some of this just to protect yourself.
Well, that helps. That's part of it. Protect yourself.
You'll have McDonald's hamburgers.
Yeah, they'll be there, sure as world. No doubt about it. It's a touchy thing to get into. I was fishing with Jack Sanders and Jim Porter yesterday, and Jack was talking about somebody's trying to move a trailer in, and he's getting all hot under the collar. The fact that somebody owns a piece of property, they ought to, by God, be able to do what they want to with it. And see, Jack's my friend, and I've got to deal with people like this because I know that's not the way to do it. I mean, it's all right if as long as you stay old country, but already somebody doing what they wanted to with their property has just caused me no end of problems. That's George Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He did bloody well what he wanted to. And he's gone and gotten, he has absolutely no use for that little patch of ground right next to me, between me and the gallery building. And he's had that thing surveyed out, and now he's found out that his property is over on the gallery building property about this far, according to the survey. So he's already negotiating to get some money for that little stretch of ground so that people won't have to dig up their concrete so they can put up a fence on his property. But that's the people to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, it's going to be ticklish. There's going to be some hard feelings going around. I know that. I'm going to get accused of a lot of nasty things before I even get started on it. I can see it coming down the pipe.
Well, you'll be started before they know anything about it, won't you?
Well, pretty well underway. I've got to get hustling around and I got two houses I got to put some money on today or tomorrow, and got the Hillary house, and I'm going to try to get those two old houses that the church owns over there, the Florida Southern Methodist or something, or Southern Methodist Convention, the ones that Dr. Evans worked for. And they're on that street that goes up to the interstate. There's an old classic house there with a porch around it. It's been vacant for a long time. And really, we need to get that and start putting it back in shape, because that's really a nice house.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's a good solid Florida house, too. See, a lot of this, you know Dr. Webb or know of him? Bernie Webb at the university? I'm sure you hadn't gone to many cocktail parties with him.
Well, we used to. You couldn't get to a cocktail party that he wasn't there.
I wouldn't doubt it. Well, hell, he's he's come in with the cash.
Well, has he?
Yep.
Don't tell me.
And,
that thing puts my eyes out.
Yeah. That's something. And he's come in on my terms that and like he'll buy in, and buy in with the option that he will sell to the company as soon as the company's incorporated,
yeah,
organized.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll sell the profit to the company, which is the company's not losing right now because the stuff I'm getting is terribly cheap. That Hillary house, if we put that on the market with turns, you'd get $20,000 for it without any sweat. People with 12,000 cash are reluctant to come to Micanopy. There's a bunch of them with 2,000 cash that would be could hold up a substantial payment, $200 a month, something like that payment. But they just don't have 12,000 cash. But Bernie's putting up the money, and that's sort of nice. That gives me a good leverage when I get the company going. That's my equity in the company. And see, people just don't like to put money into a company unless somebody else has got the money there first. Generally, the person is organized and is supposed to have his share of money in it. Well, instead of money, I'm having my share of the land acquisition put into the company. In other words, I can say, well, the hell with it. And then Bernie takes his property, and Mays takes his property, and the whole thing can fall apart. It won't work. So I have a pretty good leverage of getting. See, my fear is getting into the company and getting snaked out because I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And you get messing around with these people with the capital.
You've seen that happen.
Sure have. Those crazy bastards will flip a coin. I caught a piece of that crazy economist this morning when I was cleaning up. Good Lord. No wonder the country's going to hell.
Yeah.
Stein, is that his name?
Well, hell yeah.
He was talking about public opinion didn't make any difference concerning economics. He said, the man who was talking to him there, Frank or whoever, in Washington, I think, and he's saying, well, you don't think we should stop talking about a depression? And he made the flat statement. It didn't make a bit of difference whether he talked about it or not. And that's a bunch of crap. Because that's precisely where money is. It's how people feel about it. And he's awful academic.
Well, you're off the hook then at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Running pretty free.
Right.
Hell, my brother's got, well, I can get probably 5,000 more from up in Washington going to it, so I've got a good bit of capital to work with now.
Good enough.
So I've got to get busy. Yeah, it'd be an interesting project to get underway.
Now you got to get your legal things going.
Mm-hmm. Got to get the company structured and on all the legal aspects of the company structure, and then the technical part of it is who's getting what money, and like if somebody puts $1,000 in, what do they get out of it? People want to know this kind of thing. Right now it's pretty simple. People are buying straight property, but as soon as the company's organized, they'll be putting money in for me and for improvements and for planning, and there'll be a lot of them. Bunch of money going out that doesn't buy property, so you got to show that this is going to pay off. This kind of investment. I'm going to get a salary this time. I'm not pulling another Micanopy. I mean, another Crystal River. I'll make sure I can pay my bills and eat before anything else happens.
Yeah. Yeah. They just count your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found out the technical term for that. See, the way you say things is very important. And the technical term is you don't put it down as salary, you put it down as time lost. So the investors are looking around, well, this very important man has lost some time and he needs to be compensated for it. So you don't want a salary, you want to get compensated for time lost. That's like that thing you told me in school all the time about doing research.
Yeah.
How you use words.
Yeah.
Just run people off.
Yeah.
And there, they say time lost, and people feel good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, salary, they don't feel good about
it.
If
you want to go home, if you want to go fishing, all you got to say is that you've got some research.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get back up there to do.
I told you about using that. That's the summer, that very summer, you mentioned that in class with me about. Hell, it'd been summer of 58, I reckon, something like that. And I went down to A&P, buy some groceries, and pulled out my checkbook, and they asked for a student ID card. And I said, well, I'm not in school. I was on relief, that government thing you get when you get out of service. 2626 Club, we called it. But anyhow, you're subject to so many weeks of welfare pay or whatever. Unemployment, that's it. And I said, well, I don't have a student ID card. I'm doing research this summer. She didn't ask my driver's license or nothing. She said, okay, that's fine. And I almost dropped my groceries outside laughing about it.
Yeah.
It worked so slick, guy, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't laugh right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't ask me another thing.
Yeah.
Just took it. That's fine.
We,
research.
I came up against that with Debbie and Rick when they first came out here. People asked me what they're doing. And they didn't have a name for it, you see. And I told them, just lie. Just make up something. And you know, they couldn't make up anything. They just stood there with their foot in the mouth, their hand in the mouth. They couldn't talk. Nothing would come forth. See, they're so damn honest. Well, they're not so honest. I mean, they're no more honest than anybody else. It's just a certain facility you get as you get experience. You put things in the proper terms, don't you?
It's right. Research or you get into trouble. That's all it is. If you tell them you're taking your own welfare, they'll kick you out of the store.
Where do these young people get this idea that they're so moral?
I don't know.
And honest and all those things. it's the last thing I would claim, you see.
Well, actually, the last thing they are.
Yeah.
In a way.
I think I'm more honest than they are, because I know what I'm doing, whether it's honest or dishonest, and I'll say so. And if something wrong with it, I'll say what it is, and
it was so long, you see, that Rick couldn't even, he had to say that he had a degree from college. It just, everybody ought to know he had a degree.
He was so overwhelmed.
He
was overwhelmed. It wasn't his fact, it was him.
Well, I can understand that. I'd be overwhelmed.
No, I don't think you would. I don't think you ever would. You see, he came up in that culturalist tribe. You throw them on your parents, but you see about how hip they are and all like that. But his parents go. You don't see how much you've been spared being brought up by those parents. You haven't got anything to live down like Rick has at the college degree. Well, let me tell you, that's all there is to it. I was going to sit down and get a little information from you and put it down on a piece of paper and send it up to Don, you know. But if you think you've got enough.
Oh, I do want to get that listing on the Chattanooga property. They might have some use for it. I don't know.
I'm thinking about Chattanooga.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Jamaica Nova business,
mm-hmm.
You see. That's way off from me, too. I couldn't very well talk to him about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you could write him about it.
Yeah, I think I'll jot off a note on that.
Yeah.
If he can sell it, that's money for him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt anybody to do that. But I don't know what to say to him, because we can get the more money we can get at the basis of it, the better off we are before any big money comes in. But everything I'm doing right now is all this buying of this property investment, which is, if you're going to put money anywhere, it's hard to lose. And whatever profit I'll be getting from it would only come if they sold it. under the way I'm doing it right now. So that people aren't hurting at all. And it's a pretty sound investment. You just no way you can lose money unless you, if you buy a piece of property on time and then you can't pay for it or something like that.
Yeah.
But so far, all the properties we've got underway are self-supporting. It's going to run out pretty soon. Like that piece of Shimwell's property is not self-supporting. It's pretty expensive. Put out $200 a month or better to buy it. And it's no return on it.
And he knows he going to get his money out of it.
Yeah.
And nothing there. He moved the house.
If it had a house on it, it has to stand some chance of holding on to the property.
Mm-hmm.
See, you really have to have a company. There's hardly any individual that can afford to just speculate that strong. Put out $15,000 and rest on it.
Yeah. The only way you could get income from that is let McDonald's hamburgers come.
Yeah.
Or some such thing.
Or put a bunch of trailers on it. Oh, me. That's Nicanopy something. Yeah, they came. I don't know this man's name, but he came by sitting on the bench yesterday. We were about ready to go into town, and in the evening, and he came by with a petition to sign for somebody to bring a trailer in. And I can't figure out exactly why he was working for it, because he didn't own the property. Old man Hare owned the property, and it's on that street going out to the interstate. And I remember the fellow last week at the council meeting was turned down. No, he wasn't turned down. They said to put it off and let him consider it. So it's still a possibility you can put a trailer on, but it's right on that bloody main street. And once they put him there, it's hard to get them off.
Yeah.
But he wanted me to sign the petition, and there's a bunch of names on it, and I said, well, I can't sign the petition, because I'm trying to go along with the town and keep the trailers down a little bit, put them in specific places. I feel sorry for the guy who got a trailer, but wants to put it somewhere and can't do it.
I don't have to be put on Main Street.
Doesn't seem that way.
We really got into it the other day, Faye, over there. Way was trying to clean up his dark room, and I was in there trying to use the telephone, and just one fool thing after another came up. You never saw anything like it. How did you get in with Will?
That was through that Bill Schaff guy. That's his father-in-law.
That's right.
Yeah. And he came, saw me one night sitting there with a long face. I had just gotten word that Dr. Daly was trying to buy that building at Hillary House, and a few other things that bothered me other than just that. And so he took compassion on me and went to see his father-in-law so he could go up some money. Because I was a bit disturbed when I heard that Daly was messing around wanting that building.
Well, one thing about it, he doesn't have much time to mess around.
Yeah, he has to do fast business if he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And these, now, you remember how you bought this place?
Yeah.
That's more or less the same way I'm buying the Hillary place. It's that they don't like Daly.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No.
Well, I didn't know there was anybody that didn't like Daly.
That's a distinct impression I got. I'll tell you, the strongest indication that I got, we were talking about abstracts, and we're talking about the abstract on the Hillary House, and then I said, well, I think it's probably a good thing to have. We've got to have an abstract. I didn't get one on my building, and I don't know, mumbling around, she says, yeah, and you probably won't get one either, referring to Miss Daly and all of her business dealings. And I don't think that they cared too much for Daly News. They didn't like the idea of apartment buildings over there and a few other things. I was Miss Daly, the woman I bought the place from. She has a long history of niggardly stuff.
Okay. I got thrown some holes. I'm sitting over here. Did you call?
She said mine is a bit too busy.
Yeah.
Oh, Miss Daly's got that. Got a long history of niggardliness. I don't think anybody has a great deal of respect for the Dailies.
You know, they put Mr. Weaver's little bill in trying to go to the collector. And they know him all their life.
She's hot. She's, that's, you talking about Bloods and that, like the man with the ability to talk or something in a person? It's in her, in Ms. Daly, to rat about money, just be weasel about it. Buster knows really strong because he used to pay about $1 a month for that water. Maybe it's $2 a month. Well, hell, she'd come all the way to Micanopy to collect $2 from Buster if he didn't pay her. And she lived north side of Gainesville. And she sold a piece of property across from where she's living for $80,000. Property she's living on, I know damn well she could sell it for probably $250,000. She's got enough property. It's apartment type, apartment complex property. And it's valuable. It's not the amount of money, it's the attitude. And she's, if we're late with a payment, she calls up and just whines and says that oh my goodness, I've got to have that money in my bank account because I'm going, and she gives the damnedest excuses you ever heard about why she needs the money. No, we've got another 18 months. That was a 7-year mortgage.
Well, you just stretched it out long enough and not make it hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's only $100 a month. But that's the way she is. Oh, you should hear the stuff that she comes up with. Why she's got to have that money. You know, if it's fifth of the month and you hadn't paid on the first. It's bitter. She's got hard times. And from my understanding, she'll do it with a $3 bill as easy as a $100 bill. Same thing. She just got to have that money. She doesn't have any money herself. She's got to have that $3. Not that you should pay her. You know, by rights, you ought to pay her, and by God, and that's it. It's that she's broke. Oh, it's terrible.
Well, everybody swears by Dr. Daly. You never hear a dissenting voice.
Yeah, he would be that kind of doctor, because he's incompetent. And I've forgotten, I'm pretty sure I've heard some people mention the fact that he's gotten in trouble.
He's
had bad diagnosis. I mean, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Beverly knew him before we moved to Micanopy.
Yeah.
And he is an incompetent.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even have a license to practice. And so he can just write prescriptions out. That's fine.
Well, let me tell you, Wade.
I've got to get in by 11.
Yeah, don't stop. I thought your hours, like I said. Well, that gives you a little, you pass that stage now, and you
yeah, that's first.
You've got that leverage. But I don't see quiet, now this is not my business, how you can ask, be assured that, you see, he'll turn him over to the company.
Well, I'm going to have to write a legal paper on it and have that as strong as you can.
Yeah.
Well, there's one way. I don't know if I get my signature on the deed.
Oh, I see. And then let him just take a mortgage on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount, that's all right.
See,
yeah.
I can buy it and sell it to him for that matter.
Yeah. Well, you see, when I left over your house, I was thinking about this money I've got for cattle. It's just up there, and I'm not using it. Well, I don't want the damn property, but I don't want to lend it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get in the banking business, you see. I could buy the thing outright, but then how do you know, you see, that it would be turned over to the company? Except the fact that I don't want any property.
Well, in that case, the only way would be to have a second, my name on it one way or the other. That's just a legal thing, that when it comes time to do something, you have to take legal action on it. That's the reason we got these attorneys, and get them to write it up.
I never heard of anything like that. See, if he puts up the money and gets the title for it.
If it's all in his name, it's strictly a matter of faith, or you can bring suit against him, I suppose.
Yeah.
Some ridiculous thing like that, which I don't.
It'd be too hard. But anyhow, you all work that out. That's not part of it. Let me tell you, you've got push.
Yeah, I've got to get on
that. Yes, I should have asked you. I didn't realize you'd get going to.
Well, it's a dental appointment.
Book the damn thing so quick. That's pretty good.
I didn't realize it'd come around that fast either.
Well, is it his money or money?
Yeah, it's his money. Yeah, their families had a lot of money.
Oh.
And I think he's been investing all along. He's that mentality. No problem about it.
Yeah.
He just hadn't gone about his work. He's made money. And so they've got selling off some properties that they've owned. They've got money now, and I think they're coming into more money, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's his mother. I don't know which mother it is. One of them is, I think, extremely well off.
So everything up at the university is sort of clear.
So it looks that way. Clear sailing ahead.
Oh, they're paying up there now, wait. No telling what they'll make. Good department here. Is he still here?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
See, he doesn't have to carry a $100,000 mortgage on his house, because he bought that old house in Gainesville years ago.
Yeah.
And it's even got an apartment in it that he's probably paid off, and the apartment's paying him money. And most other people, they're out in on the golf course with those houses out there, and they're having to pay, hell, $400 a month payment on the house or something like that. And his house is paying him to live in it. So he's way ahead of the game, money wise.
Well,
smart move.
You know, the thing that gets me. You see, the money game. If you're interested, it's all right. And then if you could use it as a sort of leverage, you see, where you get into a lot of things that you wouldn't otherwise. You see, you do that too. opens things up for you. Well, I can see that. But the thing, you see, the thing that, you see what they miss, they don't actually see much.
Mm-hmm.
They just occupy it all the time, I suppose, and that passes for seeing things. You see, there's more on that one little tape in there about the merchant marine man than they ever have seen.
The other day, I wish if I hadn't been running from one thing to the next, and you got to, if you're going to write about this, you got to do it pretty quick before it gets thin.
Yeah.
But I had an experience all one afternoon when I was starting this business in Micanopy, dealing with the money people. We wound up at Harry Beckworth's shop. You know, the gun shop?
Yeah.
And he's dealing in antiques now?
Yeah.
And I tell you, guy, it was some funny stuff that went on during that whole time. Very peculiar things. Shifting around with different people. It's strange.
I mean,
just little oddities that would happen in the money world. And people, like I was with one person that has a lot of money, and the person that's with me who's just started it, George Swinford. And he's going to be one of my partners. He's my in between middleman, between me and the money world.
Yeah.
And Harry Beckworth, have you ever had anything to do with him?
Just talk to him over the counter.
Yeah. Strange person. He's not, doesn't have anything to do with the quality that you're after, the person at all. He's strange. Tattoos, and always got a gun, and short haircut, and this barbells. And something, he was going to build a castle on his property over
Crescent Beach, but if for some reason it fell through the zoning or something stopped him, he's going to build an actually authentic castle over there.
Right now he's got this, he's got a permit to wear a gun. He's got the gun belt on and a gun, and it's got silver, embossed silver handle with all this carvings on it.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely amazing. It goes around with this get up and gear on. My friend George comes in there, and he's a big buyer of antiques, and there's an old piano there, and he knocks the dust off of it, throws the lid up, and sits down and starts playing this really strong classical music in the middle of this gun shop. And Harry Beckworth standing there with his gun on his hip, his t-shirt and a crew cut, and George playing some really strong classical music.
Where did you pick Sunford up?
Oh, I've known him for 10 years. He was working with me in truck driving, furniture moving.
How is he your go-between?
Well, see, he's done this 12 East restaurant in town. And so he's touched all the money people, and they like that attitude of restoration and old stuff, antiques. So he's touched the right money people. And he knows he's gone through the headaches of setting up the company and knows how to handle the money, or knows how to put it, structure it.
But he doesn't run that.
No, he doesn't run it.
Restaurant.
He just owns it. No, it's leased out.
Yeah.
He's not getting a great deal from it.
Yeah.
But since he did that, he'd go to somebody and say, "We need some money for McAnulty," and he can get it 50 times faster than I could. That's what you call a track record.
Oh.
And they like it and they believe it. And these people have the same feelings. Put money in that kind of building, they'd put money in the McAnulty. Same type of people.
Uh-huh.
So that's a fortunate thing. I never thought we'd get back together under these circumstances. We
yeah.
used to sit in the back of the truck and talk.
No,
good time moving furniture.
That's a long way around, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he got into it independently of you.
Oh yes. He just kept pushing and finally put it together. Oh, he's 2 years ago, he didn't. Hell, I was buying him hamburgers about 2.5 years ago. Now he owns property all over town. He moved fast. And I think he's honest, oddly enough.
Yeah.
An honest person.
Yeah. Well, you better move on.
Yep. See you later.
Right up.